You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Wednesday, September 12th, 2018, and you are Locked On Jets. This is John B. from GangreneNation.com, your host. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on either iTunes or Spotify. We'll deliver the show to your device each morning. You can listen to us on demand, whether you want to do it on your commute, at the gym, on a run. And if you do enjoy the show, leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. Well, as much as Jets fans would love to bask in the week one domination of the Detroit Lions, we are on to Miami now. We're heading into week two of the NFL season, and it's an important game for the Jets, as far as week two games go, at least, because it's a division game, it's their home opener, and it's against another 1-0 football team, the rival Miami Dolphins. It is crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, which means we'll have the host of the upcoming opponent. We'll do it all year long. Today we have Travis Wingfield, who hosts the Locked On Dolphins podcast. Travis is here today to talk about the Dolphins, and if you want to listen to Locked On Dolphins, I will be there to answer questions about the Jets. Let's jump into our discussion with Travis of Locked On Dolphins. It is crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, so joining us today is Travis Wingfield of the Locked On Dolphins podcast. Travis, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, of course, man. Looking forward to it.
And, you know, with the Jets and Dolphins both 1-0, you know, maybe this is finally the arising of a new era in the AFC East. Maybe we're finally near the end of the Patriot era of dominance. Well, probably not, but we can hope, right?
We're all hoping, man. Hey, it was nice to see the AFC East actually has the most wins of all the AFC divisions so far. So everyone calling the AFC East the worst division of football, maybe not so fast. I know it's early, but I'm hopeful.
Travis, a very bizarre game on Sunday between the Dolphins and the Titans that include two long weather delays. Just give us some initial thoughts on the way the Dolphins looked week one.
First thing is just, I would never advise a 7-hour football game to any fan. Even if you win, it kind of takes away from the fun of the day. I had a hard time just like wanting to watch the other games, which to me is always the best part about Dolphins wins, is watching the other games with the victory in your back pocket. But it sucked. Like two-hour delays, it sucked. As far as how the Dolphins played, I thought the delays really interrupted their momentum. They were cruising on offense on a couple of drives, then the delays would come on and they would slow down and go 3-and-out on their next series. Defensively, it took them a while to get going, but they did a great job of hemming Marcus Mariota inside the pocket, not letting him beat them with his legs, and they made a couple of big short yardage stops, one down around the goal line with first-round draft pick Minka Fitzpatrick, who, for us, we are just as excited about him as you guys are Sam Darnold.
So, Travis, Ryan Tannehill returns to the lineup for the first time in over a year. He missed the entire 2017 season and then missed the end of the 2016 season. Where are the Dolphins at with him right now? What are expectations on Ryan Tannehill this year?
As far as public perception, not good, but as far as people that really follow the team closely, we're high on him because Adam Gase has finally had the opportunity to institute the offense he wants to run with this no-huddle, hurry-up attack that Tannehill's completely in charge. And you saw the autonomy at the line of scrimmage on Sunday, getting guys in the right spot. They were mixing up the run game where that wasn't the case in years past. It was just strictly outside zone with Jay Ajayi. Now they're running split zone, inside zone, trap plays, outside zone. It's a variety that has created an opportunity for multiple guys to make plays in this offense. And Tannehill is so comfortable in this offense and has everything kind of mastered at this point 3 years in that I feel like the offense is really, really going to be one of the unsung heroes of the season in terms of the NFL landscape.
So you mentioned Jay Ajayi, who obviously is no longer with the Dolphins. Of course, Jarvis Landry also gone, offseason moves to Cleveland. So who are some of the guys the Dolphins are looking to step up and be the playmakers in this offense?
Well, Kenyon Drake he's a superstar waiting to happen. He has such start-stop ability, you know, the jump cut, the explosiveness, everything about his game, both in the run and pass game, is exceptional. Can't wait to see what he becomes as a 24-year-old back that really hasn't carried the load in his career, so he has that opportunity ahead of him. Jakeem Grant was a big part of the game plan on Sunday, and all he does is make yards on targets, and he's got one of the higher yards per target average averages going back to last year when he started actually getting playing time. Albert Wilson is kind of that Percy Harvin role slash running back slash receiver, so he has a big part in the offense. And then Kenny Stills, like you guys know about very well up there in New York, he makes big plays all the time, had 4 catches for a 106 and 2 scores on Sunday. So it's a ball distribution offense. The ball gets spread around all over the field, and we're excited about it.
What's the state of the offensive line in Miami?
They allowed 5 pressures on 31 dropbacks on Sunday and just 1 sack, so they played really well. Josh Sitton has come in and stabilized things right away on that left side. Dan Kilgore, Mike Pouncey's replacement, had a very good game on Sunday, and the right tackle, Juwan James, is playing really well now that he's back and healthy. So, like I said, I know it sounds optimistic and everything, but I just think this offense has the right pieces in place, and I don't really see a weakness outside of maybe tight end.
You know, it's the most glorious. You talk about how it's being optimistic. Well, I mean, it's the most glorious time of the year when your team is 1-0. Because
right.
I said this earlier in the week, that when you win that first game, you feel like your team's never going to lose a game.
It's true. It's very true. And we definitely feel that way.
And I can tell you, I mean, the Jets, you could try winning a Monday Night Football game by 30 points.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, Jets fans are going to the Super Bowl this year. So let's talk about the defensive side of the ball a little bit. What's the Dolphins' style on defense? What's their system like?
So they play that wide 9 where the ends get upfield and kind of set the edge themselves, and they ask the linebackers to fill inside. And in the preseason, they had a lot of problems getting those run fits right. But on Sunday, it looked a lot better. I'm still not going to pound the table and say they're going to be fixed 100% of the time. Kiko Alonso has a tendency to get washed out. He's not very good in coverage. Raekwon McMillan still has some mental errors that will come with it. What basically is a first-year player. He missed his entire rookie year with a knee injury. But in that back end on the secondary, the way that aggressive zone coverage they use, it really relies upon Rashad Jones, Xavien Howard, Bobby McCain, and now Minkah Fitzpatrick, who all 4 played exceptional on Sunday. I think that's going to be, like I said about the offense, one of the more underrated units in the NFL in terms of the Dolphins' secondary making plays. They had 3 picks in the game, and they funnel things to certain players and can confuse the opposing offense, and it's tough passing against this team right now.
Who are the pass rushers on this team?
Cam Wake is the gray beard, so to speak. He never goes away, it seems like. Just a phenomenal athlete and specimen. And then Robert Quinn was the big addition of the offseason for the Dolphins. They traded a 4th-round draft pick for him. He was great in the preseason, actually had 4 sacks in 2 games in the preseason, but didn't get much done on Sunday. The pass rush was not great on Sunday. We saw them not get a lot done against Blaine Gabbert and a pair of backup tackles, which was a bit concerning for me in that game. But it's going to be mostly Robert Quinn and Cam Wake off the edge.
You know, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie has been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate your offer. They have live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score. Visit MyBookie online, that's MyBookie, and use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
Now, I think any Jets fan can tell you that they were a little shocked at how well the team played on special teams on Monday, because heading into the season looked like a disaster, and suddenly they look like world beaters on special teams. How's Miami's special teams look?
Normally it's one of the strong suits of the team, and I feel like typically that's the case for the worst teams in the league. Like they always say, our special teams are really good because our offense and defense just isn't good. And Darren Rizzi has been the special teams coordinator for a long, long time, and usually his unit is pretty well coached up, but they played pretty poorly on Sunday. They have a lot of new pieces on that special teams core. They allowed a kick return for a touchdown, cannot have that. But as far as punting and kicking goes, they looked pretty solid in that area. So I would say it was not a good performance overall, but it could get better, I guess.
Obviously, the Dolphins in their front office have a man Jets fans are familiar with, Mike Tannenbaum. What are impressions about the job he's doing down in South Florida?
Don't ask Dolphins fans about him, because you will not get a nice response. He gave out a lot of bad contracts the last couple of years. I think it was after the 2016 season. They re-upped Kiko Alonso, Andre Branch, and then they signed TJ McDonald, basically sight unseen, coming off of an 8-game suspension to a contract extension. And then they had to go into this year's draft and basically replace all 3 of those guys at certain spots. I mean, Kiko is still playing a lot. Andre Branch and McDonald both play a lot too, but they went out and drafted their successor, so to speak. And I think that you know, I think he's kind of lost some of his footing in the front office because they focus more on drafting and building that young core around GM Chris Greer and getting guys that Adam Gase prefers opposed to Mike Tannenbaum going out there and spending funny money.
I'll tell you, that's just shocking. I'm floored to hear they give out that contract.
I believe you know that.
So what are the expectations for this team this year? Obviously, they went to the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, disappointing year, but spent the season without the quarterback.
Yeah, I think much more closely to 2016 than 2017 in terms of the overall record and performance. I thought last year's 6 wins was probably more of a mirage than what they actually were. Jay Cutler was just so terrible. The defense fell apart. And all the issues they faced off the field were just, it was really kind of crazy how many things they dealt with off the field last season. I think things get better this year. That right now, knock on wood, they're super healthy. Hopefully that continues on to the season. I think probably in that 7, 8, 9, 10 win range is probably their window, I guess.
All right. Well, Travis, nice chatting with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, man.
Many thanks to Travis for joining us here today on Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. If you'd like to hear the Jets' perspective of this game, you can listen to me over on the Locked On Dolphins podcast today as well. That'll do it. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets as we head into week 2 of the 2018 NFL season.